Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
I want to thank you for being here. I know that it's a holiday week for many, and many are traveling. And so we appreciate you being here and hope that you have a great 4th of July. As you celebrate with family and friends, I would call you to continue in prayer for our nation, for all that we are and all that we can be. So don't just spend the time grilling hot dogs, but maybe a moment or two thanking God and praying for what is ahead for us as a nation. Today we continue our summer series, and what we're doing, if you haven't been with us yet, we're looking at passages of Scripture that you gave to us, passages of Scripture that you wanted us to dig into. Some of them have been fun. Most of them have been less than fun from the preacher's perspective. But we're finally moving, as we go into July, we're moving into the New Testament. We've been in the Old Testament the last few weeks. Next week, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians. Great passage. 2 weeks from today, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Part of Ephesians chapter 5 is the verse that says, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands." And I'm just really looking forward to that one. If you want to be here for that. But we're looking forward to it. Actually, it's been difficult for us, but I think it's been good. For all of us, as we've dug into some parts of Scripture that maybe normally we wouldn't dig into. And one of those passages of Scripture is this one, this passage about the wide gate and the narrow path, the path that leads to destruction and the path that leads to life. So as we prepare to dive into this one, let's pray together. God, we thank you for all of Scripture. Every bit of it, the parts that we love and go back to time and time again. And we thank you, God, for the difficult parts that at times make us scratch our heads or wonder, the parts that really make us dig in to discover who you are and who we are as your people. So lead us today into this conversation about wide gates and narrow gates, about destruction and life. May it teach us. May it lead us. May it guide us to life. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, let's agree. Let's agree that at least one of the reasons that we're here this morning on this fine summer day is because we want to be better people, right? We want to be good. We want to become righteous, right? That's one of the reasons that you're here. In fact, you could say that one of the functions of almost any religion, at least in our minds, is to make us better. Better than we would have been if we had simply stayed home this morning, right? Or if we had gotten an early start on going out to the lake this morning. And even though we might say, well, I'm not there yet. I have not achieved complete goodness yet. We can at least say we are on the way. We are on the path because we're here this morning, and we're not like those other people who are at the beach this morning on vacation. We are at least here. We're at least here trying to be better people, trying to be good. But we have to be careful with that, don't we? While being good is a noble goal, we need to remember that the people who gave Jesus the most trouble were who? The good people. The good people around him. It was the good religious people, the people who were in temple every Sunday or every Saturday, the people who knew the Bible front to back. It was the good people who never cheated on their taxes or their spouses. Those were the ones who at the end of the Gospels gathered together to chant, "Crucify him." And so we have to be careful with this idea that all it's about is being good. And we have to be careful when we read this passage that we heard today about wide gates and narrow gates, because it's real easy for us to hear this and to think Jesus is simply calling us to be better people, to be good, that this is somehow just about sin management. Because when we hear this about wide gates and narrow gates, our tendency is to put ourselves where? Where do we normally put ourselves? Normally, we think we're on the narrow path, right? Or at least we're within striking distance of the narrow path. Just a few tweaks, and somehow we can climb up on the narrow path. And we think that way because we think we know what's good. Passages like this often give us license to decide that other people are not on the narrow path. Other people are on the wide path because we can already see that they are heading for destruction. And so we've got to be careful with this passage because I want to make sure that we hear what Jesus says here, not what Jesus doesn't say here. Let's look back at verse 14. Jesus doesn't say, "For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to goodness," right? There's another place in the Gospel of John where Jesus is talking about his purpose, why he's here. And Jesus doesn't say there, "I came that you might have goodness and have it more abundantly." What does Jesus say he comes to lead us to? Life. Jesus comes that we might know life. A life that's abundant, a life that's uncommon, a life that's adventurous, a life that's holy, a life that encompasses all that we can be, all that we desire to be, all that God has created to be. Jesus died on the cross not to make us good. Jesus died on the cross that we might finally and fully discover the life that is really life, the life our hearts desire. Last summer, our family took a trip to Costa Rica. We added a couple days onto a mission trip so we could spend some time exploring Costa Rica. And one of the great things, amazing things that we did is that we took a guided tour of the rainforest. We went hiking through the rainforest with a guy named Johnny. Johnny was our guide. He was a professional. He knew all sorts of stuff about the rainforest. But the tour kind of started boring. Really boring, because Johnny wanted to point out to us all of the plants and the pretty flowers and explain what the trees were and where they came from. And I'm sure to someone that was kind of interesting, but it really wasn't interesting to us. But as we got deeper in the rainforest, as we went up into the rainforest, that's when it got exciting. Because Johnny started pointing out that all around us there were poison frogs on leaves all around us. He would point out in places that we didn't notice that there were asps curled up at the base of trees and sitting on these big, huge leaves of trees. At one point, he showed us an ant bed that was about the size of the chancel area up here with ants that could eat through small trees. Those are some ants, right? And then we heard this noise in the canopy above us, and all of these monkeys suddenly started moving through the canopy above us, howler monkeys, spider monkeys, swinging through the branches, moving in these great groups through the trees. Later on, as we're almost done with our hiking, Johnny said, "Do you smell that?" None of us smelled anything. "Do you smell that?" He said, "That's a wild boar." And then he asked us this, "Do y'all want to track the boar?" And before I could say, "No, we really want to live. We don't want to track the wild boar," Johnny led us off the path, onto a different path, so we could track this boar. And let me tell you, it was one of the most exciting, invigorating days of my life, at least. I mean, we had all seen monkeys in cages. We had all seen snakes behind, poisonous snakes behind thick glass or from a distance. We had all seen videos of boars chasing people down. We had seen all of that. But on that day, we were out in it. We were out in the middle of life. And it was invigorating, and it was exciting, and it was something that we remember. And here's what I think Jesus is trying to do for us. When Jesus talks to us about the wide gate and the narrow gate, the way that leads to destruction, the way that leads to life, what Jesus is really trying to do, Jesus is inviting us to get out in it. Jesus is inviting us to stop spectating our faith, to spectating this life that we're called to, and really move into the life that is really life. You know what we do. You know what we do with our faith, right? We tend to turn faith into a checklist of things that we've got to do to get to heaven, right? You know, we need to make sure we show up to church on Sunday. We need to give, maybe go to Sunday school or a Bible study. We tend to tame our faith, to take out the adventure, to take out the risk. And what Jesus calls us to is to a life that is hard and difficult, that requires us to make different kinds of choices. Because in those difficult choices, there is life that is really and truly life. Our faith comes alive, not when we stand back and spectate, but when we dig in and live it. When Jesus says he says this in verse 14, "For the gate is narrow and the road is hard." What you need to know about that word hard is that in the Greek, it doesn't just mean difficult. It's a rather complicated word. It means constricted. It means pressed in upon. And so what Jesus is really getting at here, maybe when the people who heard him to begin with, is that this life that we're called to, that really is life, it's not just that it's hard or difficult. It's that we'll be misunderstood. That people will push back against us if we choose to live this life. That people won't understand us. That maybe this life that Jesus is inviting us to will even be awkward at times. Awkward for us and for how people will receive us as we make these choices for life. So what does that life look like? What does that life look like? I think that's the question that most people struggle with. Okay, I can get on board with finding life because my heart and my soul desires that. But what does that really look like? And people fight about this. They talk about this. Well, here's the thing. It's real easy. It's real easy in the way that Jesus presents it to us. When we get to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus is wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount, which starts back in Matthew chapter 5. And over the course of these three chapters that we have, Jesus tells his disciples who are there with him, the crowd who has surrounded him, who are trying to figure out who he is, and even those of us thousands of years later, what Jesus does in these three chapters is Jesus shows us, this is the life. This is the life that you're called to. This is the life that will bring you and others around you life. And if you want to know what it requires of us, what we're called to, all you need to do is go back and read. And maybe read and reread and read some more. If you want to know what this life is, invest yourself in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let me give you some of the highlights of this. Let me give you just a few of the highlights. Jesus says this to us. You are the light of the world. He goes on to talk about how we speak. He said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And how about this? He says, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. Another, give your better coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Or how about this one? See if this makes you uncomfortable. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Or how about this? When we think about what we buy and what we own and what we need in this life, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And if you're worried or anxious, Jesus says this in the sermon. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he says this. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. And in the verse, right before the whole wide gate, narrow gate conversation, this is what Jesus says right before that. He says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus says, if you want to know the whole law, everything in the Old Testament, if you want to know what all the prophets are getting at, it's that. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do you see why Jesus says this is a life that others will push back on? Why this is an uncommon life? Why this at times is a difficult life to choose? Because it requires us to go against what the majority are doing. It calls us to go against what our culture calls us to do. At times it calls us to even go against what we want to do to others in this life. Here's what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus is not saying, I want you to agree with me. Jesus is not calling us to agree with him. Jesus is calling us to live the life that he calls us to live his life in this world. Because it brings not only us life, but it releases the life of Jesus into the world around us. Here's what one author says. God wants to use people like us to show the world what we know about Jesus by having them see the way we love people around us, particularly the difficult ones. The way that leads to life, the life that your soul desires, is to live the life of Jesus in every moment, to make the choices that other people will see as awkward or difficult, the choices that other people won't understand in this world, so that we can show other people the life of Jesus alive in us and alive in the world. And here's the thing. Our world needs people who live in the darkness and yet remain the light of the world. Our world needs people who see the brokenness of people around them and the mistakes of people around them and yet remain committed to not judging them. Our world needs people who hear all of the angry rhetoric swirling all around us and yet make the hard decision to be peacemakers in our world. Our world needs people who are betrayed, talked about, gossiped against, and yet remain committed to praying for their enemies and loving the people who persecute them. This is the way of Jesus. On October 7th, 2006, a man named Charles Roberts was laid to rest in rural Pennsylvania behind a small United Methodist church. There were about 75 people there at the funeral. And there was nothing really strange or unique about the service itself, except this. Almost half of the 75 people at the funeral were Amish. 5 days before Charles Roberts' funeral, Charles Roberts had walked into an Amish schoolhouse and shot and killed 5 school children before he turned the gun on himself. And these Amish who were gathered around the graveside of Charles Roberts were the aunts and uncles and grandparents and neighbors and friends and brothers and sisters of the children who had been lost. They were there that day as a statement of faith. A statement of faith that they believed what Jesus taught them about forgiving other people. What they knew and what they professed is that if there was to be any way to life out of this difficult, dark brokenness, if there was to be any way that they would discover life again, it would be through following Jesus in this difficult moment in a way that the rest of the world would not understand. By forgiving, by choosing the narrow way, they believed that they were choosing life. Here's what you know. Here's what you know and I know. Later today or tomorrow, the next day, or when your family gathers around you for the 4th of July, you're going to be presented one of those moments. One of those difficult moments where you're not sure how you're supposed to respond. You're not sure exactly what you're supposed to say. And in that moment, maybe you need Jesus to make you uncomfortable. In that moment, maybe you need the words of Jesus, the call to the narrow way, to make you think and rethink how you will act and live in that moment. Because you know the easy way, but maybe it's the difficult way that will lead you to life. Here's what I'd encourage you to do today. Sometime today or this week or over the course of the rest of your life, read and reread Matthew 5-7, and let it disturb you. so that you might find life that is really life in this life and in the next. Let's pray. God, our hearts yearn for so much more. We desire, God, a life that is abundant, that is uncommon, where we discover unexpected joy and peace and life. So God, allow us to let the life and the words of Jesus challenge us and change us, that we might become people who strive and struggle to make the choices of Jesus in the moments that we're in. That through the blessing and the grace and the life of Jesus, and choosing the hard way, the uncommon way, we might discover the life that we were meant to know. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.